The Dan and Maz Show. My fellow Australians, it's time for the first meal of the day. And it's a day that starts with S, which means it must be time for your serving of weekend breakfast. So crank your volume up. Oh, to a respectable listening level.
It is still quite early.
It's time for Dan and Maz Weekends. Hooray!
Good morning, legends. It's Dan and Maz Weekends. Happy Sunday. Hello, Dan.
Hello, Maz. You look radiant this morning.
Oh, thanks, mate.
Like a little ball of energy, like a sun just right there, radiating warmth and life-giving positivity.
You look like you had a big night.
I didn't actually. That was... I actually went to bed early. I thought I'm going to look really refreshed tomorrow morning, and yet I still look like a disheveled mess.
It's all right. It's your thing. It's your shtick. Guys, we've got a cracking show prepared for you today. So hang around for the next 2 hours. Up next, as always, on a Sunday, we do need to lock something into the Encyclopedia of Awesome. I'm particularly excited about the topic that we will be discussing
Encyclopedia. Like, Maz, it's kind of like if you took like the Venn diagram of Dan and the Venn diagram of Maz. The topic we're discussing is bang in the middle, like, of the two of us.
Yes, yeah. And I feel like I'm a bit of an expert in the field.
Yeah,
I don't think you're
not so much.
Yeah, I don't know that Dan's an expert, but you definitely would have an opinion about it.
Dan and Maz Weekends.
Let's open up the Encyclopedia of Awesome.
For centuries, people have gathered to argue over the most important topics. What is the best breakfast cereal? What's the best word beginning with T? We're going to solve them one at a time and stick them in the Encyclopedia of Awesome. And today's question is...
what's the best fitness craze?
Yeah, but Maz, this is actually not a fitness story. This is actually a Harry Potter story.
It is inspired by Harry Potter. A what?
That's right, the boy wizard. The boy who lived. This is a woman in the US who has started Harry Potter yoga.
Fusing together one of Dan's and one of my very strong passions.
Yes, the two worlds of wizarding and fitness coming together at last.
It's a very strange take on yoga, to be honest, but I get it. It's themed, it's quirky. People love Harry Potter. Why wouldn't you sign up for that?
Oh, it's one of the greatest franchises of all time.
What do you do in Harry Potter yoga?
Well, from what I can tell from the photos, Maz, you hold a wand and do yoga.
That's it.
Go to our Twitter or our Facebook, Dan and Maz, and you can see the images there. As far as I'm concerned, I can't think of a better fitness craze than that.
Well,
and it's held in a brewery as well. Why is it in a brewery?
Butter beer brewery, isn't that a thing?
I'm not sure if it actually is, but it, I mean, it's a thing in Harry Potter, but it's definitely... is that what they're going for, do you reckon?
I think so. I mean, if you're going to theme yoga to something, I suppose you want to get all of the elements of it in there, right?
I got to say, though, when I think of Harry Potter, I don't think of breweries. I think of a wizarding school. Wouldn't you want to hold it in like an olden days school? I don't know. But it's Harry Potter yoga. It exists. And it's going on our Facebook. Everyone's just tagging their friends.
Oh, my goodness. People are loving it. John has said, I think keeping fit just got a whole lot easier. We need to join this gym. There's so many good comments. And, people just sharing it with their friends going, finally, a yoga I might do, Rach has said to her friend Rangzi.
131060, we are building a list for the Encyclopedia of Awesome, which is where we decide on the best of something forever and we lock it in, okay? And we want to know today, what is the best fitness craze? And take it seriously. Now, Maz, you obviously know all about this.
Well, you're an expert in the Harry Potter world, Dan.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm an unofficial expert in the fitness world. I own
Are you kidding? You literally own a gym. You did.
I own a gym.
You did a personal training class. Like, you took one the other day.
I did.
So you are literally an expert in fitness.
So here's one.
I'm not a professional Harry Potter expert. You are literally a professional fitness expert.
It would be amiss if I didn't say F45 because I own an F45 gym. That's definitely a fitness craze.
Oh, that's the best one, isn't
it? But here's one. Absolutely. Here's one that I've seen very, very recently, like within the last 24 hours, this has popped up on my news feed.
Yeah.
Now, it's called the Bungee Workout.
I reckon I can figure out what it is.
Well, it's the ad for it is pretty interesting. Like, it's just got text on the screen, but I can read out what it says.
Oh,
this
yeah.
is the backing track.
Oh, okay. Now I know where I'm at. Yeah.
This bungee workout looks like so much fun. You can try it out at the Stories to Take Theatre in Bangkok, Thailand. Oh. Just slip on a harness, connect to the bungee rope, and enjoy a mix of dance and aerial aerobics. It's a full body workout, perfect for building up strength. You'll literally be dancing on air.
Whoa.
Whoa. And it actually looks really cool.
Is that the kind of music that you play in your gym, Maz? That sort of like...
We pretty much play.
Yo, pump an iron, man. Feel that burn.
We actually play pretty much what DJ Konski does. Like mashups
right.
the whole time. Yeah,
yeah.
Mashups of pop music. It's all good right. stuff. It's good stuff.
13 10 60, what is the best fitness craze? Think of them all. The weirder the better as well. Maybe you just heard of a weird one and you want to bring it to our attention.
Dan and Maz Weekends.
The Encyclopedia of Awesome. Let's open it up.
For centuries, people have gathered to argue over the most important topics. What is the best breakfast cereal? What's the best word beginning with T? We're going to solve them one at a time and stick them in the Encyclopedia of Awesome. And today's question is...
What's the best fitness craze?
13, 10, 60. Call us up right now. Think of all the crazes that you've seen, all the fitness fads.
All the fitness cray.
They be cray cray. Think of all the weird and wonderful things you've seen people do to stay
I reckon
fit.
I've done most of them, to be
Every
honest.
Every week, Maz Compton, oh, there's a new one. She'll come into work.
Thing.
This is inspired by Harry Potter yoga, but Maz, I think you've done every themed yoga under the sun.
Any strain of yoga could be classified as a fitness craze. So I've done hip-hop yoga, which is it's a regular kind of flow class for those yogis out there, but just to sick beats, like sick hip-hop beats, bit of Drake and Rihanna in your yoga class. That's a good one. I've also done stand-up paddleboard yoga.
Yoga on a stand-up paddleboard.
Stand-up paddleboard yoga.
It's quite difficult.
Sup yoga. One fitness craze that I haven't done because I don't believe it exists in Australia, .. yet.
Okay.
It's called Soul Cycle.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like spin class on steroids. Like, it's meant to be like a rave and a spin class mashed together.
Yeah, isn't it a bit like
cultish?
A bit of a, like a startup kind of thing.
Yeah,
like,
I think it's a bit culty.
Yeah, oh, gosh.
Haven't done it yet. Don't know if it exists in Australia yet. But I've got a few friends that live in America that are legit addicted to Soul Cycle.
People are just desperate for like an excuse to get fit. It's like, you can just run around the park, mate.
But it's fun to just be in a room full of people doing the same thing as well, you know?
What about capoeira?
Yeah,
remember
that's
that?
Fitness craze. Yep, totally.
It was like Brazilian dancing.
Brazilian martial arts.
Yeah.
What about retro sweat? Have you heard of that one, Dan?
Yeah.
80s aerobics.
Yeah. That's in Sydney, isn't it? Isn't that in Bondi?
Yeah, there's a few that in the city and Bondi.
Oh,
correct?
Okay. All right. 13 10 60. We are locking in the best fitness craze. Sam.
Hi, I'm going to say Pilates.
Okay,
why do you reckon Pilates is the best fitness craze?
Well, we've got a gym downstairs in our house and my mum probably goes down there every day and does Pilates.
Household gym. Sam, you must be a millionaire.
Yeah, I know. Sam, do you guys have a gift wrapping room? Are you that rich?
We do have a tennis court.
Whoa!
Stop it! Sam?
Far out.
Oh my gosh, Richie Rich on the phone.
Gee.
Oh,
thanks,
buddy.
Sam. Pilates.
Pilates.
One of my favorite. Can I just do a quick
Pilates
story
in
about
the home gym.
Do you remember Maz, the guy who, I think it was the guy who said, Jesus, you're going to get killed. His name was Pontius Pilate.
Right.
One of my friends once was reading out this play at school. It was The Crucible. And one of the lines was, what are you, some sort of Pontius Pilate? But he'd never seen it written down before. So he said, what are you, some sort of Pontius Pilates? And the whole class lost it. I can't hear the word Pilates, but think of that. That's a shout out to my friend Stuart. All right. James.
On your stew.
James.
Hey, James.
Hey, how you going?
Good, James.
So good.
Yeah, bloody good.
You sound like you're full of endorphins, James. What's the best fitness craze?
Full of the endorphins of the spring resistance trainer. You don't need no downstairs gym.
Okay.
All man's exercise.
What's spring resistance training? Is it sort of like spring cleaning? Like you do it once a year to sort of...
No, so like imagine a whole bunch of springs that are really tight and then you've got like handles on both sides and you've got to pull against those springs.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
That's actually...
Yeah. And
I don't know how to explain this.
The arms.
But Dan, look at what I'm doing. Like, you remember these ones?
Yeah, I get what. No, I can picture it, and it sounds really difficult.
Yeah.
All about the
pull. I feel, James, that's very 80s.
A little bit 80s, but you can get some ones that are a new modern sort of like fluoro colour.
Newfangled one. All right.
Yeah, they've been updated for Fitspo.
Great. Spring resistance training. Thank you, James. Seamus?
Where are you, Seamus?
Seamus. Oh, Seamus.
Well, what a shame. Oh, well.
No, Seamus?
No.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, we do. Oh, finally. Come on, Seamus.
How are you?
You're good.
Good. No time for formalities. What's the best fitness craze?
I reckon fitness balls are the way to go. They're the future.
They're also, like, I feel like it was maybe 10, 15 years ago, everyone had them at their desk because they were like, you're sitting on a chair like an idiot.
I reckon they're coming in.
Okay, the good old fitness ball. Everyone's got stand-up desks now. That's the latest trend in office.
Now it's
in
like office.
The medium fitness ball. I reckon you've got 10 exercises easily.
Oh, at least, Seamus, at least 10.
Yeah.
How many do you reckon you could get through?
100.
I reckon at least 10.
All right. At least 10. Yeah, okay. Yeah, all right. No, I always look at the fitness ball and I go, maybe that would be a good lifestyle choice, sitting on a fitness ball. Anyway, we'd love to talk to you forever, guys.
You can do exercises standing on a fitness ball if your core strength is good enough.
No, wrong.
Not wrong.
That's incorrect. You can't do that.
Completely feasible.
We've got Diggs taking your calls. He's been making notes of everything. Before we get to what we're going to lock in, Diggs, do you have an honourable mention?
I do, guys.
Good.
And you might have to explain it to me because it was a bit of a smoke bomb call, but archery tag.
Oh, ooh. I saw this one on our Facebook.
Is that like Oztag, but
no,
with archery?
No, it's like dodgeball crossed with archery. Christian put it on our Facebook. There's a video of it.
What do you mean dodgeball crossed with archery?
You know, dodgeball, two teams line up, face each other and throw balls at each other?
Yeah.
Imagine if instead of throwing balls, you had a longbow, like Hunger Games style.
But obviously not to kill each other.
No, they've got little nubbins on the end.
Little suction caps.
Nah, like sort of like foam cylinders. Anyway, we can talk for hours about this. We've got to lock one in.
That to me sounds like just Nerf guns in the park.
Yes, it's just like that, Maz. It's like the Nerf bow and arrow. Yeah.
Why didn't
but
we
it
just
does
say
seem
that?
Kind of extreme and scary. All right. So the winner, guys, today, Pilates.
Lock it in.
Oh.
And so the final decision was made and entered into the Encyclopedia of Awesome. From this day forward, let it be known that
Pontius Pilates
is the best fitness craze.
But like yoga Pilates or reformer Pilates.
Dan and Maz Weekends.
Dan, you love a good board game.
I do, Maz. I do.
So I'm assuming you would love Monopoly because it's a board game.
That's where you're wrong. Ugh. I don't like Monopoly. I don't like it at all.
Why?
It's such a badly designed game.
Whoa! It's a family favourite. It's an institution.
Yeah, but the most well-known isn't necessarily the best, Maz.
Well, that's true.
The most highest rating radio show might not necessarily be the best. There might be another one plugging away on weekends that is actually the best. It's just not well-known enough. Maybe. Maybe that might be true, you know.
Maybe somewhere in a parallel universe,
Monopoly's
hey?
The worst. And you know, another fact about Monopoly.
I love Monopoly.
Monopoly is we actually play it wrong when we play. What's supposed to happen is this: if you actually get out and read the rule book of Monopoly.
Oh, who's ever read the rule book of Monopoly?
This guy right here.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. Party started. Dan DeBoof, let's get out the rule book.
Before we play, we must read the rules. No, the...
Oh, you are that guy,
you're supposed to go around the board.
No wonder you hate it.
Once a first player goes around the board twice, you should then auction off... Yeah, you should then auction off all the properties straight away, right then. Because that way you can actually build up monopolies and you can really start to...
No, that's not how we play. Everyone goes around once, then you just start buying up big.
No, I play Monopoly aggressively and I really try and grind my other opponents to death and they hate it.
That's why, that is why you don't enjoy it. Monopoly is meant to be a family game.
No, because otherwise it goes forever. You got to grind and people
go... Well, I remember school holidays when I was growing up, we'd have a Monopoly game going for 3 or 4 days and we'd have to leave it like upstairs and no one was allowed up there until the next day. Yeah. Then we'd all regroup as a family and play again.
You'd sneak down and get some money out of the bank. These days, Monopoly's... I played Monopoly the other day.
Yeah, so has it... obviously, it's updated to, like, internet days where, obviously, we're just, you know, pay-passing houses and stuff, right?
Literally, Maz, they don't have money anymore. It's got an electronic counter.
Good. Cashless society is the way to go.
You don't get to hold a big wad of fake money. That's the fun part. They're figuring out what's fun about it.
Oh,
but
you've got this all wrong.
Here's why we're talking about Monopoly is because the latest update to Monopoly is they're going to do... Australian Monopoly. Hasbro is going to bring it out in time for the Christmas rush, I'm assuming. And the internet is going to vote on what all the little properties on the board should be.
Now, is this going to be like an insensitive version of Monopoly? How like The Simpsons was an insensitive episode about Australia and it'll be stuff like Kangaroo Drive?
No, they're going to literally, you're going to literally vote.
So actual street names from around Australia.
I imagine it'll be like cities and states and icons and whatever, but we don't know because people are going to vote and whatever gets the most votes will be the best. So the Mayfair will be the one that gets the most votes.
Oh, so the most expensive properties will just be the most popular, I suppose.
Yes, correct.
Well, knowing us Aussies,
knowing the internet.
I mean... It will probably be inappropriate.
Absolutely. Think, for example, of Boaty McBoatface. Remember Boaty McBoatface, Maz?
No.
Remember they were like, what do you want to call this boat? They did a vote and everyone voted for Boaty McBoatface.
Yeah. It's going to be a lot of that, isn't it?
It sure is, Maz, because there's one thing we've got a lot of in Australia. It's funny sounding places. And I mean, when you listen to their marketing, it's almost as if they're asking for it.
Hasbro is proud to announce the new Aussie Monopoly.
We don't know anything about Australia,
so we asked you crazy Aussies to submit the place names for us, and wow! New Aussie Monopoly featuring all your favourites.
Rudy Hill, New South Wales. Inaloo, WA. Backstairs Passage, South Australia. Humpy Bong, Queensland. Mount Buggery, Victoria.
But that's not all.
Cumboobal Cumbang. Humpty Doo. Cool Your Nobbing. Wongle Pong. Burp and Gary.
And don't forget the knobs.
Wallaby Knob. Hungry Knob. Iron Knob. Bald Knob. Big Knob Waterhole. And Prominent Knob.
Fun for the whole family.
Oh, wow. Community Chest. Give me a card, Pa.
Oh, okay. You bloody drongo. You bloody come on a boat without a visa. Go directly to Nauru and do not collect $200 dues.
Aussie Monopoly. Get it at all good servos, bottle-os and trainos now.
Dan and Maz Weekends.
Let's talk about what Emma Watson has been up to. Now,
a bit more Harry Potter stuff this morning.
I know, I just realised this.
Lucky I wore my wizarding robes.
We're not.
Expelliarmus.
Do that most weekends.
Yep.
We're not focusing on Emma Watson because of her role in Harry Potter. It's just a coincidence that she was in Harry Potter.
The brightest
a while
young
ago.
Witch of her age, Maz.
I love Emma Watson because she made millions being Hermione and then went, you know what? I'm gonna go study and use my smarts, use my brains.
She went to Oxford.
Now, I believe actually, I feel like she went to New York. She went to like Brown or one of the unis that was on Gossip Girl. She went there.
No, I've got Ivy
She
League.
Did. I remember it because I was like, why wouldn't you just go to a uni where you live?
I've got a mate who went to Oxford and he bumped into her once in
Look
the lawn.
Can you Google it, please? Just look it up, because I swear to
you. If
you
just joined us, we are Googling live on air.
We're just arguing about where Emma Watson studied.
Oh, you're right, Maz.
So I knew this because I remember thinking, you're so rich, of course you're going to go to New York and go to university.
But it also says she attended Oxford as a visiting student. So we're both right.
We're both right. Very rare occurrence that we are both correct, Amondo.
She's a smart cookie.
She is a smart
woman. She's the UN ambassador for women.
Yep.
And what's she done lately? She's leaving feminist books on trains or something.
It's not even, I don't know that they're feminist books, but it's part of this London Underground, Books on the Underground movement, right? So what she's done is she's part of a book club called Our Shared Self. And she's gotten 100 copies of the book that her book club is reading, and she's left them on the tube in London. And she's put a handwritten note in all of the 100 books.
That's cool.
And basically the thing is, if you get on the tube, you find the book, you can read the book and then leave it for the next person. But these books have handwritten note by Emma Watson, which is really cool. And the book is a Maya Angelou book, one of my favourite authors. It's called Mum and Me and Mum, and Emma Watson and her mother went and delivered them on the tube together.
Is it true, Maz? I didn't go too deep into the article, but is it true that the notes are signed from Hermione Granger? Or are they signed from Emma Watson? Because I think maybe the headline just made it seem that way.
I feel like the headline made it seem that way. Regardless. Maybe she did 50-50. I don't know. I actually don't know. What a treat, though.
What a thing to find if you're
catching a
tube to Cockfosters.
I beg your pardon?
That's the funniest thing when you first go to London that you see, like one of the tube lines is called the Cockfosters line. It goes to Cockfosters.
Is that how you really say it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they do. They say it on the speaker. This is a direct to Cockfosters. And you'll go, oh, that's so funny. And all the British people look at you like, yeah, all right, Australians, we get it. Anyway, imagine that, getting on a grotty tube car and then finding a little book from Hermione. That'd be great.
No, it's such a great one. So we thought, 131060, give us a call. What have you found on public transport?
For example, Abby said on our Facebook, she found a Tiffany bag with a diamond engagement ring in it on a London train.
What?
Keeps going. Luckily, there was a wallet and mobile contact details. I called the number and told the lady could not stop crying. I arranged to meet her and her fiancé, and they gave her an envelope as a thank you, and it had £5 in it.
You're joking.
£5.
Oh my goodness, a Tiffany engagement ring.
I know.
Oh, imagine the person that left that behind, how they were feeling when they realised what had happened. Oh, you'd be so stressed.
£5.
£5 for your honesty.
131060. What have you found on public transport? How did you have to get it back to the person? Or did you keep it? Do you own it to this day? Because I guess once it goes out into the world, it's anyone's game. If it doesn't have a way to track it back. And we'll take taxis as well, I've decided. Because there's a couple on our Facebook.
Of public transport?
Yeah.
What about Uber Eats?
Yep.
Okay, great. 131060 or tweet us. We're at Dan and Maz. We'll take your calls next.
Dan and Maz Weekends.
131060 is the number. We want to know, what did you find on public transport? And Dan, you said that we were going to include taxis.
Yep.
In the public transport sphere.
Yep. Ubers.
Ubers even. This is all inspired by one Miss Emma Watson, who's left about 100 copies of the book that she's reading in her book club on the London Underground for people to find. The handwritten note.
That'd be quite a thrill to find that on the tube. 131060. What did you find on public transport? Wayno. G'day, Wayne.
Hey, buddy. How are you?
Yeah, good, Wayne. What have you found on public transport?
Wasn't quite what I found, it was what I left, because I was slightly stupid.
Oh, that's sorry. Oh, hang on, we're doing that topic tomorrow, so no, we're not on tomorrow. All right.
Damn.
Yeah, what? Tell us your story.
Back in high school, I had band practice in the morning, like a lot of people did, and take my trumpet with me, and then on the way home from school, I left on the train.
Oh, you left your trumpet.
Yes.
What kind of trumpet were you into? A bit of jazz or?
Yeah, I love jazz, actually. It was really good. So in the jazz band for school. It's good fun.
Yeah. So
what happened to your trumpet, Wayne?
Oh, it's under my bed now.
Oh, he's still... Okay, so you got it back.
So you got it back.
Oh, yeah, no, I got it back, yeah. So basically we had to, like, ring, like, the station, and then they told us to ring in the morning, and we found it in the city, so we had to go pick it up in Flinders Street.
So had somebody handed it in, or was it still, like,
no,
left on the train?
No, the driver found it, like, at the end of the run, the driver found it, and then they give it to Lost Property, where it goes off to the central office, so, yeah.
Okay, so, I mean, it's a fun story. You lost your trumpet,
yeah,
but it's completely off topic. It's like the exact opposite of what we're talking
about.
Well,
I mean, the train driver could have called up and said, oh, I found this trumpet under a seat.
Right?
Yeah, all right.
Who lost their trumpet?
Yeah. Well, I reckon Wayne...
I don't know about your trumpet, but Wayne, you've lost your mind.
Wayne, do you whip this story out at every dinner party you go to?
No, I certainly don't. I was thinking about it going, this is a stupid story, but anyway.
No, it's a good story. No, Wayne, I want to encourage you to tell that story more because I think it's a good little serendipitous story.
You got your
trumpet back.
Do you still trumpet, Wayne?
No, I don't. And I feel that you would appreciate if I took it back up, right, Dan?
Yeah, I reckon get back on it.
Yeah, right, I should. Yeah, One day.
Back on the horn.
Before I'm 30.
Yeah. All right.
Wayne, thank you. Thank you for your call.
We're going to go to Mel. Thanks, Wayne. Mel.
Hey.
What'd you find on public transport, Melly?
Oh, I found 15,000 in an envelope on the train.
15,000 what?
$15,000.
Oh, yeah. Bees.
What do you mean?
Yeah, it was crazy because, like, we just got on, we're just sitting down, and then sat down, and then I was like, oh, what's this? Like, you know, sitting down on something, and then pulled it out, like, and looked inside, and it was just, like, $15,000.
So did you count it? Did you sit there and count through all the money? How do you know it was 15,000?
Well, because they were, like, in bundles, like, you know, like 15 bundles of $1,000.
Did you hand it into the cops, Mel?
No, we went to the train station and we handed it in,
Do you reckon they would have handed it in to the cops or they would have just divvied it up backstage?
Totally.
Well, a week later we got a call from the guy and he's like, oh, take you out for some beers because, you know, thanks for finding my money, but then, like, we didn't go because...
Yeah.
But, Mel...
Sounds a bit sus.
Who's rolling around with 15K on a train...
Yeah.
Probably not the guy you want to have drinks
exactly.
with.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. It sounded dodgy, like a drug dealer or something.
Yeah, that's what we were implying, but you just...
Trying not to say that, but there you go. Thank you, Mel. That's exactly what we were after.
Yes, unlike Wayne's trumpet story, which was great... But off topic. No,
just
you're good, Wayne.
Just for another day.
Wayne's good. No, I like Wayne. He's good.
You're waking up with Dan and Maz Weekends. Everything lights up. Makes you want to shout.
Talk about happiness. That's what we're talking about. Good morning, legends. Dan and Maz Weekends. We're here for the next hour, and we do need to talk about the greatest baseball team in the entire world right now. The Chicago Cubs.
Yeah. Oh, you lived in Chicago, didn't you, Maz?
I did. I lived in Chicago.
Are they your team?
Well, when I'm in Chicago, they are. When I'm not in Chicago, I don't really care about baseball. But they won the World Series. The best thing about the World Series is it's just actually America, and they call it the World Series. So
American.
But
do you reckon the Cubs could beat any other team in the world?
I reckon there's other really good baseball teams out there. I don't know where they are.
Japan is a big baseball country. I know that.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
Yeah.
Got to talk about that. Up next, though,
Halloween. There's
this video that's been doing the rounds ever since Halloween of a girl getting her head stuck inside a pumpkin.
Yeah, we haven't actually covered off... Spookfest 2016, have we?
No, but we're going to do it next.
Dan and Maz Weekends.
So there's this video. I'm sure you've seen it. It's had a lot of views of a girl who literally got her head stuck inside a pumpkin over the Halloween break in America.
I can, like, fit my head in it.
I can't get it out. Try tilting it down.
My head is literally in the pumpkin. I know what to do!
Total chaos.
Hold on, 24/7. I got it.
Her head was retrieved intact. It does sound like she was genuinely terrified, which also makes the video even more funny.
Oh, Americans, hey? Aren't they
Seriously?
Stupid?
I mean, I get it. Like, oh, there's a big pumpkin there. We're going to carve it out for Halloween. That's what we're going to do, make a jack-o'-lantern. It's a thing. And then I get, like, I understand the question you might ask yourself, should I put my head inside the pumpkin?
Often I've thought that. Have you ever thought, do you think that often? Yeah.
Yeah, and then you go, like, no.
Yeah.
I'm not going to put my head inside the pumpkin. That's a stupid idea.
Yeah.
I love how her family were just really unhelpful as well. They were just filming it for YouTube.
Isn't that what you would do? Like, honestly, if someone sticks their head in the pumpkin, I'm not going to help them. It's their fault.
It's an opportunity. It's absolutely an opportunity.
You know?
She did. I think the strategy to get her head out of the pumpkin was to just tilt her head to the side, and then they sort of slipped it up over a ponytail, and she was fine.
Why don't they just crack the pumpkin open?
Because they might have accidentally cracked her head open.
It's got a bit of Mr. Bean and the Christmas turkey to it, doesn't it?
Oh. Yes, it sure does.
Oh, Bean. Oh, Bean, you goof. All right. Now, this woman, she put her head in a pumpkin.
Even just saying it out loud makes you laugh.
Well, we figure we might play a fun game, 13, 10, 60 of... Where's your head at? Where's your head at? Where did you put your head?
Yep. Where have you stuck your noggin?
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be that you got stuck in there, but that's, you know, we will take stuck stories if you
stuck
put
your. Stuck stories are always hilarious.
But it could just be something awesome and funny you have put your head into.
For example?
Oh, I don't know, Maz. Geez, like maybe you're at a circus and you put your head in a lion's mouth at the behest of the trainer.
That's definitely a call of.
That'd be a great one. Yep, well, what about, you know those things, I bet you there's a name for them, and I'd love to know if there is a name for them, but they're like the putty head through photograph things.
Oh, yeah, like the cardboard cutouts.
Yeah, like you put your head through and it's like, oh, I'm a cowboy.
Oh, yes.
I'm in old colonial town. That's funny, you know?
I reckon the name of it is what you said it was.
Putty head through thing?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, 131060 team, what have you stuck your head in?
Yeah.
Or you can tweet us, we're at Dan and Maz on Twitter.
Where'd you put your head in? Where's your head at?
Dan and Maz Weekends.
131060 is our number. We're playing a little game this morning. Where's your head at?
Where's your head at?
To be honest, Maz, a lot of people probably wake up this morning after a large night out last night, and we don't want to know where their head's at.
Nope.
We want to know where you've put your head. It's inspired by the woman who stuck her head in a pumpkin to celebrate Halloween. We haven't had a chance to talk about Halloween until today, Maz.
I know.
But there was a woman who got her head stuck in a pumpkin. We want to know, where did you put your head? So 131060, we got Josh. Joshy.
G'day, mate.
Where'd you put your head, Josh?
G'day, mate. It was actually one of my mates. We work, we make Ugg boots for a living. And one day we were tasked to make a really big display Ugg boot for out the front of our shop. And it was about... 4 foot tall, 4.5 foot tall, about size 38, huge boot. But the opening at the top was really small. My mate thought it'd be a brilliant idea to chuck the top of his head in it. And he got about halfway and then gets it all the way in. He goes, oh, no. And he took us about 15, 20 minutes to get his head out of the top of his head.
Oh, that is hilarious.
Love that big booty.
Oh, yeah. It was classic.
Good stuff. Do you have photos of the Ugg boots stuck on your mate's head?
Absolutely do. We've got we had to cut from the top down to try and get it off. We've got it like
poor boot.
His head
brilliant. Like,
that's exactly what we're after.
Tweet
on
us 13, the photos. 10, 60. Yeah, we got Kim. Kimmy. Where'd you put your head, Kim?
Okay, so we were getting new flooring put in our house, and these two workers, they were like really good looking, and I was showing off a little bit, and there was a hole in the floor, and they were working underneath the house, so I put my head through the hole thinking I was cool, and it got stuck, and it was the most embarrassing moment because then they had to cut my head out of the floorboard.
So you put your head through to like peek in on the workers, and then you got stuck?
Yeah.
Oh, Kim, I love you. That's the best story.
That is such a perfect story, Kim.
It was the most embarrassing day of my life.
How long did it take them to cut your head out of the floor?
I think I was there for like 2 hours.
No way. Oh, Kim, that's the greatest.
Oh, man. And are you married to one of them now?
Oh, I wish.
Thanks, Kim. We've got Anastasia.
All right. Anastasia. Where's your head at? Where's your head at?
My older brother, we were on our holiday up in Queensland. We were only, like, really young at the time. He decided it was a good idea to stick his head between the unit's safety bars. He could get it in, but we had to call the brigade to get him back out. So they had to come and cut the stuff off. It was embarrassing.
Oh, that's
my
bad.
Parents were ashamed, I think.
Did he freak the hell out?
Yeah.
From what I remember, he was in tears and screaming.
Yeah, that would be terrifying as a little kid to have your head stuck between those two bars.
And you would have just been
we
like...
We found it amusing.
Yeah, you would have been stuck in your little twerp. Yeah.
We've been like, this is for everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Payback. Okay. Thanks for your call, babe.
We're asking where you put your head. Bonus points if it got stuck or if it's a funny, weird place. We got Rachel. Where's your give us
hey,
a story, Rach.
Hey, so when I was just born, like very newborn, my sister got one of those. She had this little like portable toilet seat so that she didn't fall in the toilet.
Yep.
Well, good start already. She grabbed that, shoved it on my head, and went to show Mum what she'd done. She had to take me. I was standing outside in the middle of the street. All the neighbours were out trying to figure out how to get this toilet seat off my head. And someone had to get a chainsaw.
Oh. No, wait, that would have been so terrifying.
I have no idea.
You had a miniature toilet chainsawed off your head.
Yeah.
Oh. That's a great story.
And you were so young, it's like, welcome to the world. This is what happens.
Oh my
exactly.
Gosh.
I had a chainsaw just next to my face.
To this day, you are terrified of toilets and chainsaws?
Obviously.
Yeah.
She's just shocked that I brought it up. Come on, let's get a couple more. Tanya?
Hey, Tanya?
Yeah?
Where's your head at? Where'd you get your head stuck?
My son did. He's 8. In a squishy ball. Like, you know, like the stress release type balls.
He got his head stuck in a squishy ball?
Yeah.
How?
How?
He, like, blew it up himself and, like, yeah, and then he pulled it over his whole
was it, like, traumatic?
It was when he couldn't get it off, yeah, because it was sticking to his hair and stuff.
That's great. And so how did you solve that? Or does he still to this day walk around with his head inside a squishy ball?
No. Yeah, I, like, just generally had to peel it off.
Okay. So, Tanya, it sounds like you're loving this story more than anyone else in Australia is.
I picture it like an inflated swimming cap.
Yeah, basically that's what it looked like, yeah.
Okay, good. Okay, excellent. All right. Let's do one more. Let's go one more.
All right. Kim. Where's your head at? All right, Kimmy, bring it home. Where'd you get your head? Where'd you put your head?
Okay, when my son was about 4, his sister told him to stick his head in one of those cat scratcher home things.
Oh.
Yeah, he's 21 today, and we still give him hell over that. Like, it's hilarious. He got it stuck, and he ended up with carpet burn on both sides of his cheek.
Okay, where were you?
We were in a pet store. Yeah. In a shopping centre, in a Westfield shopping centre. So hilarious, so hilarious.
How long did it take to get him out of the cat scratching structure?
Took us about 10, maybe 15 minutes.
That's amazing.
To push him around to get him out, yeah.
It would have been okay, except for all the cats just scratching at him.
Did you say that he's 21 today, as in it's his birthday? Yes.
No, not today.
Oh.
Right now.
Oh,
I was like,
okay.
Well done on the birthday present. Just national shame.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah,
good on him.
He still pops it after all.
You absolutely have to, for the rest of his life, give him grief about that. Thanks, team. That was so fun.
You know what? We asked and we received. I knew we'd get some good stuff. Dan and Maz
Weekends. Oh, I think the celebrations are continuing in Chicago as the Cubs... won the first World Series in 108 years!
Yeah!
Which means they've been a terrible baseball team for about 100 or so years. And then they finally, this year, I mean, they were preseason favourites. I actually spent a bit of time in Chicago earlier in the year. Mm. My best friend lives over there. She got married and I was her maid of honour. And we wanted to go to a Cubs game. There was so much buzz and hype about the Cubs this year. And they had an away game the week that we were there. So we went and saw the White Sox and they were really crap.
Oh.
So I'm glad the White Sox didn't win.
Cubs. I'll tell you what, it was very exciting if you lived in America.
The Cubs win the World Series! It's over! And the Cubs have finally won it all!
Seriously, the last World Series... Great tune.
I should say, Ryan has said on our Facebook, because we put up a post saying, you know, this is what happened this week. Ryan wrote, wow, you guys are onto this quick. Like, steady on, Ryan.
Come on, mate.
We haven't been on air all week. We only get on air on the weekends, okay?
We get on air on the weekends. We talk about the stuff we're passionate about.
Your floggo?
This is one of them.
Give it a rest, Ryan. How's your radio show going? Oh, wait, you don't have one.
Hey, Ryan, if you're listening, how's this for some fun trivia?
Yeah.
So the last time that the Cubs won the World Series, 108 years ago, Theodore Roosevelt was the president.
Yeah.
New Mexico, Arizona, Alaska, and Hawaii were not yet states. Mm. And the first Ford Model T car was 2 weeks old. First car. Some people are still cruising around on horses.
Here's my theory, Maz, is the worse your team is, the more likely you are to win these days. It started with Leicester City in the British soccer, the Premier League. They won. It was like the biggest odds ever for a team to win.
Year?
And they beat Man United. Yeah, it was the start of the year.
Because I think a lot of the headlines over in the US are saying that the curse has now ended for the Cubs. And you're saying there are other teams in this situation.
What about Cronulla and the Western Bulldogs? Both of them. Huge grand final victories.
That's true,
actually. The worse your team has been, the better you're going to be. Everyone who's winning the big tournaments right now are the worst teams going. They've had droughts. They've had years of waiting and waiting and waiting. And finally, they're getting it. This is the trend now.
I like your theory here. So the worse a team is performing, you reckon this is the year that you could take out the title?
If you're in a team that has been losing and losing and has never got the chance to hold up the trophy, now is your time. And here's what I want to do. 13-10-60, okay? Are you in a sports team? Or maybe not even a sports team. I don't know. Maybe you're in a chess club or something. The worse your team is.
Chess is a sport.
If you constantly lose and lose and lose right now, 13-10-60, because we want to get on the ground level. We reckon now is your time.
This is your year. You could take out the tournament. So 13-10-60, if you're in the worst team, you could be winning.
Here's one from Facebook. Neville says, I used to play indoor cricket for a team called Gonners. We went 3.5 seasons without winning a game.
What?
Now, Neville, I reckon this is your time. I reckon you are the Cubs of indoor cricket.
Okay. So the Gorners,
yep.
2016,
yep.
It's a happening thing.
Yeah, or maybe 2017, because I think we're running out of time this year. Just now's the time.
Dan and Maz Weekends.
13-10-60 is our number. Now, we've got a bit of a theory here at Dan and Maz HQ. It is surrounding the sports.
We want to know if you're in a terrible sports team, you're just consistently losing, you've never had the chance to hold up the trophy at the end of the season because you've never, ever won. You're terrible. Because the Cubs have taken out the World Series, Western Bulldogs won the AFL, Leicester City won the Premier League. It seems like the worse your team has been over the years, the more likely you are to win a grand final.
Yeah, if you've been on a losing streak or there's been a winning drought in your sports team, this is the year.
Okay.
Daniel. That was great timing. Sorry.
I know. I wanted to appreciate the timing there too. That was flawless. We're really good at this.
But then we talked over each other.
Yeah, so
we really screwed it up.
Yeah, we dropped the ball just before the try line.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Good sporting reference though, Dan.
Thanks, Maz. Daniel.
Hey, how you going?
Good, mate. Now, you're on a terrible sports team.
Yeah, look, we've got a pretty poor AFL 9s team going at the moment.
What's your team called?
Team Gordo.
Team Gordo.
Can I just clarify, Daniel, that an AFL 9s team is not a team of 9-year-olds?
No.
Nine aside, Maz.
Because I was going to say, you have a very deep voice for a nine-year-old.
Thank you.
It wasn't a compliment.
Happens early to some kids, Maz.
So, Daniel, all right. So, Gordo's team, I'm assuming the captain is called Gordo?
No, there's no one in the team called Gordo at all.
Oh. Sorry, Dordo. I guess it's an in-joke amongst your mates.
Yeah, I've got no idea either.
Already I'm getting
Daniel,
a sense.
Already what's I'm your getting... point? What's your story? We're getting off track.
So we've won probably one game in the last few seasons we've played. And so everyone's just there for a good time. Obviously, we don't win a lot or celebrate much. But this year, first game in, and we've absolutely thumped the team that we play. So it's looking good for this year.
That is 100% my theory.
Okay, cool. So you reckon you've got a winning team this year?
I reckon we've got it.
Yeah. You are the Western Bulldogs of AFL Nines. You are the Cubs. This is it.
We should change our name.
Nah, stick
no,
with
like
it. No, you don't.
It's fun.
The loyal supporters need to know. Like, they want to feel
you
it when they're there.
Undergo the a wives, rebrand.
Yeah, it's just the wives. That's the only supporters, and they have to be.
Hey, Daniel, good luck. And, like, give us a call when you win the grand final.
Thanks. I don't know what happens when you win because I've never been there.
It's all right. You can call us. Call us and let us know.
You'll figure it out in the moment, I reckon, Dan. We've also got Simon as well. Simon, you're playing on a terrible sports team.
Sure am.
Cool. Do you want to tell us about it?
I play for a club called Albury Umpires. Oh. And last season, we were wasteful. We won one game for the whole season.
I think maybe part of the problem is that your team is called the umpires, and I mean, people probably expect you to be the umpires, not the players.
Yeah, partly that. They umpire the AFL around locally, so.
Oh.
Dan understands.
Okay.
All right.
So, Simon, based on our theory, because you have such a terrible cricket team, we believe that you're going to go well this season.
I reckon we are too. As we won the first game, 150 to 230.
Ooh.
We still had 4 wickets in hand.
I'm assuming we bowled them all out. Good.
It is good. No, okay. It is good. That's definitely
excellent.
Good. Yeah, because you bowled them all out before they got within 100 of you. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah,
I'm not really up with the cricket terminology.
I reckon the umpires are going to win the shield.
I hope so.
Simon?
Okay.
Simon's shocked speechless.
Any closing comments, Simon?
No, hopefully. Go umpires.
Go umpires! Yes!
Go umpires.
Dan and Maz Weekends.
Before we get out of here, we do, as we always do, need to recap all of the news that you just didn't need to care about.
News!
It's so important. They put it on the front page of the paper every single day. Whoa. But sometimes
it's not news. Here's the news you didn't need to care about.
Ooh, it was Halloween this week, boys and ghouls.
But who really gives a creep?
Oh, wow.
Katy Perry dressed like Hillary Clinton. Kylie Jenner dressed like Christina Aguilera. Bette Midler dressed like Bette Midler. And Hilary Duff wore something that was culturally insensitive. Halloween happens every year. It's just an excuse for celebrities to once again flaunt that they have better bodies than us mortals. I'm happy to see the end of it. Except this year at midnight, it flipped over into...
Melbourne Cup Day.
Yes, whether you hate gambling, animal cruelty, hats, or paying your workers public holiday wages, everyone has an opinion about the race that stops the nation. Even Koshy.
Now going viral this morning, and pictures of punters looking less glamorous at the Melbourne Cup.
You'd be hard pressed to miss the actual news,
i.e., who won the race,
with all the coverage of people throwing back a bevy, riding on a wheelie bin, or handing in a wallet mid TV cross.
You know, as ever, Cup Day, some good luck for some people, bad luck for others.
Oh, I think you need to know. Somebody has lost $3.
Really?
Almost enough to make you forget there was even a race on.
And it seems every week there's a look who's dating who story, which is totally false.
But this week,
it was a real doozy. Idris Elba And Madonna.
Yes.
Madge shared a video of Idris boxing on Insta, and that's all the internet needed.
Idris Elba is usually dodging James Bond rumors, but over the weekend, the actor found himself at the center of another rumor. One that claims he and legendary pop star Madonna are a new couple.
But here's what he tweeted.
Am I sleeping with Madonna? No, motherfuckers! Don't believe the hype!
To be honest, I don't think there were many people really believing that hype.
And that's the news you didn't need to care about.
And it's time for us to get out of here and let you get on with your Sunday. Have a great week, everybody. Any plans, Dan?
No, but you're going to a magic show.
I'm going to see Dynamo. I'm a bit of a magician's nerd, so that's going to be a fun one. The show lives online at danandmaz.com or Dan and Maz on all the socials. We'll see you next weekend. Bye!
Dan and Maz Weekends.